This is URN.
My name's Izzy. I'm from University Radio Nottingham, and I'm joined with Retro Video Club, Liam, the lead singer. How are you? You doing all right?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. For people that don't know who you are, how would you describe your music?
I mean, it's hard to like say without sounding like again an idiot, but I guess we're just an indie rock band with, I would like to say, stadium choruses that just sing about real stuff, maybe. I guess that's the best way of simplifying it. We're just that band that sing about things that you hear in the pub or the club, or as best as I can describe it.
How did you all meet as well? Two of you cousins, is that something that I got right?
That's right. Me and Sam, the guitar player, or the other guitar player, he is my cousin, and we'd started making like demos just at his house. And we never actually had the like notion to form a band or anything. We just thought we'll do these demos, and done these demos, and then we thought, well, maybe we could play them, get a band together. So have you seen the film School of Rock?
I watched it the other day.
Right. So we put on like a sort of Facebook Musicians Wanted page. We put the Dewey Finn Wants You poster, right, that Dewey puts up on the on the lamppost when he's looking for the other musicians. So we put that up on like a Facebook page, and Michael, who's the bass player, he messaged Sam saying, "Oh, he's still looking for a bass player," and blah blah blah. And Mikey didn't even play bass at this time. We got him on board, and then the drummer, we kind of loosely knew each other through other bands. So that's kind of how we got together.
What sort of sparked your interest in music? Like, why did you want to start up a band and stuff?
Well, my primary seven school teacher got me into playing the guitar and stuff. It was the same with Sam, my cousin. And the first song, like the first thing I ever learned to do was play All About You by McFly on the guitar. And me and the teacher played it in a school concert together. And then I discovered American Idiot album by Green Day. And then that was me off to the races. Through my primary seven teacher and through Green Day, that was like the reason for picking up the guitar.
You're not just trying to sound like a rock band. So like, how do you go about that? How do you try and get away from just sounding like, you know, everyone else basically?
I know it's a dead hard thing. I mean, I think the well strong Scottish accent might help. But I think we had kind of reached a point where we were kind of at a ceiling with regards to the sound. It just sounded like just a total like indie rock band, like kind of heavy, big choruses and that. Like my songwriting kind of changed a bit as well, so it lent itself more to being a wee bit more kind of experimental and kind of going for different vibes. Like with Cloud Nine's, it's still very much the same thing. Like it's very much just like the Killers in it. But I think the songs now kind of lend themselves a bit to being a bit more experimental with the production. So that's kind of how we're endeavouring to sound a bit different. Where the producer that we work with now has done like so many like massive pop hits. Like he done Believe by Cher. He wrote and produced Hero by Enrique, like all these massive songs. Cause I like love pop music, like love it. And he's dead poppy as well. So we're able to trim a lot of the fat off the songs, make them more concise and kind of just pop them up a bit.
Actually, I wanted to talk about the new song, Cloud Nine. Really enjoyed it. What's been like the reaction to all the stuff you've been releasing recently, like so far with people?
It's been really positive. People seem to be really liking Cloud Nine. And maybe just the honesty in it. And it's one thing that we always wanted to try and achieve in the songs. And it's so universal that everyone can go, oh, actually, like I've got that person, or I wanted, like that's something I do, or whatever. That's kind of how it came about, and the reaction has been dead positive.
So, like, I guess like you like writing about stuff that's kind of close to home and things like that.
I think that's the only thing to write about, isn't it? The music that I grew up listening to was very much that kind of honest motive songwriting. And I love songs that tell stories about things that you've been through and stuff, because I think that's where you get kind of attached to artists and attached to songwriters and stuff. And you can write a catchy song, but if there isn't any substance in it, then it's difficult for people to still be singing that song in 10 years' time, you know what I mean? I've kind of always tried to focus on is, like, I always put myself in the songs. but I always like listen out for people's stories and stuff that I can kind of work into them.
Do you have like a notes in your on your notes, like just a little bit where you just write down stuff if you
Oh man, like my voice memos, my phone, right? You probably don't see it, but it's like just constant stuff.
That is, oh my gosh, there is loads.
Oh man, look, I've still gone mental. I wouldn't even begin to think how many there is.
Would you say that this song's your favourite one out of everything that you've made so far? Or
I mean, lyrically, it's up there, I think. I mean, it's just kind of so everything that you want to say to someone that you can't.
It's sort of like the conversation you would have, you're like having in the shower, like what you want to say to them. That's what you're thinking.
I suppose that's exactly that. Just like that whole, God, if I bumped into them in a pub. And I suppose the second verse is that, like, is actually the conversation. But again, it's, these are all the things that I want to say. And everyone has that, don't they? Everyone wants that. Everyone wants to meet that ex to be like, look, I'm sorry about this, this, and this, but look, at, again, I'm happy that you're doing this or whatever. So.
I feel like it would be stupid to not talk about coronavirus as well. Obviously, it's been kind of a big deal for the past year. Have you been doing, like, I know you've obviously been recording quite a lot. Do you think that's had an effect at all? Like, obviously, you've said you've changed up with this last song. Do you think having a bit more room in the like time in the studio has let you sort of experiment a little bit more?
Maybe. I think because we're not pressed, because we've got all these songs in the bank, we were kind of able to spend some time not being like, all right, but we need the song ready. You can kind of sit on songs and think, well, what does this song need? Could we add this or could we take this away or whatever? I think the pandemic has say been a blessing in disguise, but it's allowed us to get to a point whereby we've got, I mean, we are now working on 2022's music. So like there's that, we've got that much stuff tied up that we're not really having to worry about rushing it, which is just a good place to be in.
So does that mean that we're going to be getting an EP or even an album in the next few months?
Well, what you will get is, so Cloud9 is the second song in like a 2 EP cycle. So there'll be another song dropping in July, which is like massive curveball. So, and then that'll be the end of the first EP, and then we'll roll on to the second EP, and then that'll culminate in our first ever vinyl release at the end of the year when we go on tour. So it's got to be like a mixtape, basically. We're dead excited. And then moving into 2022, that'll be time to start thinking about an album, really, won't it?
Were you saying that you like a lot of pop music as well?
Oh, honestly, can't I get enough? Love it.
I've been really interested in asking people I've been interviewing, like, what they've been listening to during lockdown. Like, for me, I listen to a lot of, like, kind of nostalgic music, stuff that reminds me of when I was younger. So what have you been
listening to? I mean, I could tell you. It's funny because I didn't really, believe it or not, I didn't listen to bands, really. So I just listened to, like, for instance, some of the songs that I have recently added to my light songs are, like, do you know the song Truly, Madly, Deeply by Savage Garden?
Maybe.
Right, so that, I've been listening to some pop punk, in fairness, and I've been listening to Taylor Swift. Those two Taylor Swift albums are just, like, especially the first one, are, like, so good.
Does that mean we're going to get a Taylor Swift-esque inspired album then?
Well, we might tread the country boards. we might tread the boards into the old country. Or we might go 1989 and go like dead poppy like that. Because I wouldn't be mad at that at all. Feels like we're almost between genres kind of at the minute. Like we're, probably could put us in the indie rock bracket. But then like, honestly, wait to hear the next ones. Like, you just go, really? I think the lines have been blurred a bit, though, by certain bands. I think the 1975 are a good example. Like, every song is a just different song. And people listen to different music. It's not like people only listen to rock bands or only listen to pop music. So I don't know why a band has to pigeonhole itself into being one thing.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of, like, not even just in indie music, like, pretty much every sort of genre of artist doesn't really want to be pigeonholed anymore. Like, that seems to be, like, a kind of thing. Like, there's so many, like, overlaps in a lot of music. So, and you can definitely see it in your own music as well, obviously. So it's definitely something I've been seeing a lot in music.
Yeah, I mean, I just have to think that's the way that it is these days. And I think our older stuff, because it was kind of like rock, say rocky, or there's certainly more indie, whatever that means. I used to get people saying, oh, like, do you like Green Day and do you like sort of pop punk bands and that? And just people saying, like, oh, actually, like, I can tell through, like, I can hear that in the songs. It's, what's funny is, because I know what's coming up song-wise, I'm able to say, like, oh, honestly, wait till you hear this one and this one and this one. So I'll need to come back on when the songs are out and say, oh, look, I told you about this one, told you about this one.
And I've got to the part where I really want to speak about as well. Gigs. I've been missing them so much. I'm missing you have as well, playing them, seeing them.
Well, it's funny because we were meant to go on, like, we were meant to leave for tour the day of the first lock, like, full-scale lockdown. And the tour will be November. I mean, that'll have been a year and 8 months since we should have went on it. Hopeful that it goes ahead because we just cannot wait. It's like, it's funny because, see, the only time that you really enjoy being in a band, like, really, like, enjoy it the most is for the 45 minutes that you're playing, because all the politics sides, all the, like, pressures, all that just dissipates for 45 minutes and there is nothing else but just playing. Aye, that's just, we just can't wait. Honestly, cannot wait to get back to it.
What's, like, do you have, like, a routine before any, like, a gig? Like, do you do anything to ensure that it's a good gig or anything?
I mean, well, I didn't drink at all. So, well, I mean, I occasionally drink, but I certainly didn't drink. Like, if we're on tour, like, I'm gonna have a drop of alcohol. I always warm up as well. Like, I always do, like, those funny vocal warm-ups. We played in Glasgow once, right? And just as we hit the chorus, there was a massive power cut, right? The whole thing cut off. And the reason it did is Mikey's bass amp, a screw fell out, hit the motherboard and, like, fused it. So, like, it just cut it off, basically, like, fried the circuit. And everything cut off and we're like, so it can't really get worse than that. So we're just like, whatever. I'm never worried about us. I'm only ever worried about equipment. And what can you do about that? Nothing. So now I'm pretty calm with regards to that. Like, so that's it, really. I warm up and I don't drink.
Well, that sounds like the worst tour story, maybe, the cutout. What's your best one?
Probably. I mean, we went on tour with Barnes Courtney in Europe. That was unreal. And I'd never even been to half these places. So we went to Berlin, Hamburg, Munich, Paris, Switzerland, Belgium. Like, we went to all these places. And I'd never even been to half these places. Like, so the fact that we got to go and we got to play was just, honestly, that was unreal. That was a great time. So that, we supported the Hunna on tour, and we played at Brixton Academy, and there was like 4,000 people on site, and I was like, oh my god, this is class as well. So I would probably be one of them. I mean, even like the hometown ones though, I mean, this show in Glasgow in August, it's like 1,300 people. Like, that's loads of people. It's hard though. Like, you didn't want to take anything for granted, but definitely the tour and Brixton Academy are, like, massive highlights, to be fair.
When you're on tour, like, you're driving around all these places, who are you going to give the aux cord to in the car?
Definitely me. I'm definitely the DJ whenever we're touring or that. Like, they hate it though, because I'll play like Grease and Meatloaf and, like, all these things, and they hate that, absolutely hate it. But then they're all dead boring, like, what music like this, isn't it? Like, it's just true. They are. And if you're in a van journey, you can't be listening to some sad music. You need Meatloaf in that, you know what I mean? So I'm definitely a van DJ. Me and Neil, the driver, beat up the front singing the musicals.
Maybe you should do this. I have a playlist, because all my flatmates get annoyed at me because I like being the DJ of our house. And I have a playlist that's, like, called, like, stuff that my housemates don't mind that I can play in the kitchen. You should do that.
Well, the problem is, they, like, for instance, right, I played Ghost Town by The Specials, right? And Sam was like, what is this? Right? And I was like, what? It was like, oh, some weird Halloween music in that. I was like, are you joking, Sam? This is also the guy that didn't know, right? He didn't know Careless Whisper. He was like, well, what's this song? And I was like, are you having a laugh?
No, I'm sorry. Yeah, if he doesn't know what Careless Whisper is, maybe not.
Exactly.
Thanks for talking to me. I've got one more question though. Going on tour of the Kooks, you're bringing out all this music. What are sort of your plans, main plans for the future?
It's hard not to sound like disingenuous or whatever, but I just want to be like everywhere. Like, I want people that hate the band to not be able to see us everywhere. I want to work our way up the venues. The problem is, nothing will ever be enough. Like, even if we got to like stadium level, I would be thinking, well, we'd now have to do two nights at the stadium, or do you know what I mean? It would just never ever be enough for me, ever. So world of domination is the only thing that'll appease me.
Liam, thank you for talking to me. It was a pleasure talking.
Thank you very much for having me on.
This is URN.